The fact that you can count the number of Senate-confirmed officials currently serving in the Pentagon on one hand has created an unusual situation for defense acquisition. From the Pentagon to the military services, there are zero political appointees in acquisition jobs. But just because those posts are filled by career civil servants doesn't mean it's impossible to press ahead on procurement reform. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about what DOD's doing to simplify its purchasing of information technology in this week's edition of Inside the DOD Reporter's Notebook. Jared, it sounds like the mice are just doing what they will when there's no deacon in the church.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens when you have an acquisition apparatus that's totally run by the professional technocrats with no administration appointed folks in place. But they do seem to be moving ahead, as you said. And what we're talking about mainly is an initiative by James McStravick. And again, since there are no Senate confirmed folks on the job, at least in acquisition, he's performing the duties of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. He's a career professional. His last job was as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Tactical Warfare Systems, and we got a chance to hear him give some of his first public remarks at an AFCEA event last week since he's taken on this role. He said he's very focused on IT acquisition. And this of course, is not a unique view, but he thinks the system is basically broken, or at least the system as it's used. The way he put it is the system is failing systematically, not just every once in a while. And the main reason, Tom, is the same thing that study after study and Blue Ribbon Commission has said that we've all heard a million times, that the department has this overwhelming tendency to treat commercial IT the same way it treats major weapon systems, you know, overspecifying the technology, trying to modify that technology instead of modifying your business processes, delivering things in really big increments that take a really long time, and imposing these incredibly rigorous testing requirements, even in cases where you're buying a system that's already working perfectly well in the commercial world. So McStravick says he's already taken some steps to try to change that. Just a few months ago, he signed a new instruction that's specific to business IT systems, breaking those systems out from the rest of what's commonly called DOD 5000, which is the main guidebook for how to do acquisition according to DOD regulations and federal laws. Here's McStravick talking about why he signed that new instruction.
Biggest challenge in business systems is not technology. Biggest problem with business systems typically is knowing what you want and well enough to ask for what you're looking for, and then when you get what you get, understanding your processes well enough to realize that you don't adapt the tool, you adapt your process. And so this new instruction is mostly about change management and requirements identification, because the act of acquisition on a business system is a side effect. It's procurement more than it is acquisition. The most important thing you can do in procuring a business system or an ERP is knowing what your requirement is. That's the functional community's job. That's not the acquisition community's job. We can structure the conversation in a way that helps inform acquisition choices, but we're not building anything. It's already been built. However, the model we were using is assuming that you were designing it from scratch and people were being inspected that way, and of course they were failing. They were trying to comply with a model that wasn't effective. And so I, the CIO, and the DCMO signed an instruction that said, could you please stop doing that?
Again, that's James McStravick performing the duties of Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. And Tom, of course, that instruction is just specific to business IT systems, which is not all IT systems, nor even all commercial IT systems. But they're trying to start to get after this problem, which the Defense Department has recognized for years and has tried to fix, even in its last rewrite of that DOD 5000 document that I mentioned. When Frank Kendall, who was the last Senate-confirmed Undersecretary, rewrote that, he really emphasized the need to tailor individual programs using the acquisition authorities that the Defense Department, that the rest of government already has, and not trying to just follow a linear template for every single acquisition. There was even an appendix in there that was specific to IT acquisition and how you can kind of tailor an IT acquisition program. But as McStravick says, he's not ever seen that used. So they're trying to go a little bit further, break things apart from the regular acquisition process and explain to people in no uncertain terms, here's how the flexibilities and the abilities that you have to structure an IT program, and it is literally different than a hardware program.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. So this state prior to this instruction could be one reason why DOD is so slow to get into cloud computing, even at that level. at the non-secure level, and maybe into mobile computing to a degree.
I think that's probably right. And McStravick's theory on this is that even though these, you know, this instruction has said for a few years now, we really, really want you to do tailoring. We don't want you to follow rote processes. People looked at that template that I mentioned or that model for IT acquisition and interpreted it as this is the way you must structure an IT acquisition program rather than a model for how you might do so. So people took it as he says, as prescriptive. So another thing that he talked about that he's really trying to do is get rid of as many regulations as possible. You know, reduce the number of things that are written down on paper that were meant to be suggestions and that people are now interpreting as must-dos. Because his theory is the more of those you have out there, the more people are going to treat them as requirements instead of suggestions. The more things that are written down on paper, the more things Congress is going to go grab and translate them from policy into law that you then have to file waivers if you want to get around them in any way. And his theory as to part of why IT acquisition programs specifically, but acquisition programs in general, take so long is that you have to, you know, file these multi-page waivers every time you want to get around a particular provision of law. One example that McStravick gives of this is a system that he actually worked on, which was the Air Force's OCX, which is the sort of ground-based system for command and control of the upcoming new generation of GPS satellite technologies. That was eventually restructured late last year after it ran into some really serious cost and schedule overruns. And here's his explanation as to why that happened.
Again, we've modeled them after I'm building a box. And the fact is, I'm not building a box. I'm building something else. And while it was hard to manufacture, inspect, validate, and test something when I was building a box, it's easy. What we learned on software, what we learned on OCX is I could do that 20 times a day, not once every 20 days, or once every 6 months, which is what the contractor had been doing to the point we relieved him of the stupid. That by using modern software development and automation tools, it is possible to build in and validate the information assurance and functionality as you're doing the software. And our whole procurement model didn't reflect that. So guess what? We asked for something stupid, we got it stupid, it was expensive, and it didn't arrive.
So again, Tom, we will see once again if career civil servants in acquisition leadership posts have any more luck driving out, as he says, the stupid than political appointees have.
And just a point of fact, McStravick has the title of acting ATL.
He is not even acting ATL because he is not Senate confirmed. So the Vacancies Act says we're not allowed to call him that. He is performing the duties of Undersecretary for ATL.
So a memo to him to the different acquisition components would not necessarily have that much weight.
Well, he is not Senate confirmed, so that's a matter of perspective, I guess. But he has certainly all the legal authorities that anyone else serving in that position would.
Of course, the contracting officers throughout DOD tend to be kind of a risk-averse bunch. So I guess the problem is, can he push out this kind of...
And I think that's exactly the right question, how much weight these instructions are perceived to have. Of course, when you put them down in a DOD instruction, that should have as much weight as Frank Kendall signing it. But, face-to-face discussions and policy memos, it's harder for me to say how much more weight those would carry if we had a Senate-confirmed person in there.
Interesting instruction, how not to do stupid.
Exactly.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Be sure to check out Jared's notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.